Christ was walking toward perfection. But we need something in our walk that Jesus didn't need. So, brethren, are you ready to forgive? My title today is The Healing Power of Forgiveness. And I think we'll see in order we must forgive, and we desperately need to be forgiven. How important is it to be willing to forgive? What does it mean to forgive? I saw something on PBS, and I had done some research on it too. Does the date April 29th, 1975 mean anything to you? Probably not. You say, well, so what? You know, April's almost here, and soon be an anniversary, another anniversary of that. That was the day the U.S. Embassy in Vietnam closed and all the personnel were evacuated. After being there for several years, I think over 50,000 casualties on the American side. And the embassy was closed. There was an airlift, but the airport had already been bombed by the Viet Cong, so that aircraft could not be used. So 5,595, best I can determine, Vietnamese who were considered loyal to the United States were airlifted by helicopter to the waiting gunships or the warships there on the, off the coast. Of course, there was another 65,000 who escaped by just any means they could. Rafts, fishing boats, barges, sandpans. They wanted to get out of there. They was hoping to make it to the 40 U.S. warships that were setting off the coast. But, you know, we tried our ambassador there. What was he? Graham Martin, I believe is his name. The last. He was reluctant to start it. He wanted to get all the people that were loyal out of there. And he actually was not the last helicopter out, but second. The last one were just the remaining Marines that were there at the embassy to protect it. But as that last helicopter left that embassy roof, 11 Marines, there were still over 400 Vietnamese considered loyal and were waiting there on the embassy grounds, had been promised they could be evacuated. And those Marines, they were ordered out. The President of the United States said, that's the last one. You've got to leave. So then they were there. They got the ambassador out. Then they got on the helicopter. As they left, they could see these Vietnamese there on the embassy grounds. You know, that had been promised, that we are going to take you out. How do you think those people left felt? And what about those Marines that had waited and had promised, you know, there's a helicopter coming, we're going to get you. But they were unable. They were ordered out. You know, that might be hard to forgive when your hopes are dashed. And, you know, we read in Ezekiel that our bones are dry. Hope is lost. And probably all of those 400 were probably killed. I don't know. But a lot of people died there in Vietnam after that. But you know, there they have to forgive, and those Marines and that ambassador has to forgive themselves, because otherwise we're going to spend a miserable life. How many times shall we forgive? Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Yes, the healing power of forgiveness. You know, without that forgiveness, you know, we're all standing here in vain. Matthew 18. God believes in forgiveness, and he expects us to be forgiving. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? He would like to have a limit. You know, okay, I can endure this long. How many times do I have to forgive a person? Maybe the same person. Jesus said to him in verse 22, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. The words, continue to forgive each time it happens. He said, we've got to continue to forgive. Said up to 70 times. The church on the website, I found this article. And I hope that we're taking advantage. There's a lot on the church website. And I've found that in Oklahoma City, most people, it seems, aren't taking advantage or don't even realize what all the articles and subject. Discover the power of forgiveness. And I had some, just here's what they say. And they're quoting, and here's the amazing thing, as Mr. Caping brought out, how technology and how knowledge has increased so much now that we're able to see things and understand things that, of course, God knew all along and is recorded in his word, but we were unable to understand. But this psychologist offers the definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is when an individual who's been hurt or offended decides and practices giving up his or her desire to avoid the person who hurt him or her. Giving up the desire to exact a revenge on the person and also to seek reconciliation. So this is a special message to my wife. She really needs to take this serious. She's so used to me being perfect, she can't understand it if I'm not. So the people, psychologists, are finding out things that the Bible has recorded centuries ago about forgiveness. And I was really kind of amazed at something. The Wall Street Journal. Okay, these evil Wall Street people, right? Well, here's nearly a page ad. The healing power of forgiveness. And they have done, I could read for 30 minutes some of the research that's been done. The healing power. But this is what I wanted to read. In the absence of forgiveness, an offense that was committed against us or some pain that we caused others can replay in our minds. Words, we just keep running this. You know, we wake up in the night. Oh, I'd like to get that person. You know, why did they do that? Or even it could be the other way. What was I thinking? Why did I do that? You know, I can't take those words back. I can't undo that action. In other words, these things are going, causing continuing anger or remorse. that is often a recipe for bitterness and bad health. Yeah, they really, in this article, they mostly connect it to a person's health. A wealth of research has linked the isolation and loneliness that can result to increased health problems and higher mortality. It says it is tantamount to suffocating yourself emotionally. I mean, unforgiving is really a drain on a person. You know, it's like you're suffocating yourself. Brethren, forgiveness benefits health and is a necessary ingredient for salvation. As far as I can find, it's certainly a great benefit to health, but it is necessary for our journey in perfection. Forgiveness contributes to good health and happiness. That is my first point. Forgiveness contributes to good health and happiness. I think we've read this proverb, but I will read it. Proverbs chapter 17, in verse 22. A merry heart does good, like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. That broken spirit means smitten, afflicted, or wounded. See, we could be wounded and hurt by someone. And if we hang on to that, it's like it starts drying us up physically and spiritually. It starts destroying us health-wise. It says dry the bones in health-wise. Another quote from the Wall Street Journal, maybe I should read it. Forgiveness allows one to focus on more positive thoughts and relationships. Well, I don't want to dig that out, but that's basically what it says. Forgiveness allows one to focus on more positive thoughts and relationships. I mean, have you ever just gone to bed and you're still so uptight about something that someone has done or that you have done? And, you know, I woke up in the night. Oh, my. And finally just had to go and pray that God give me the power and the inspiration to forgive or to forgive myself. You know, and you just, if God does that, it's like you can't wait to get to the phone or see someone and say, I'm sorry. You know, that's the power of God's Spirit. And of course, the human, man's created in God's image, so we have certain characteristics of God, even if we would not have God's Spirit, because we are created by God. So people have a conscience in many times. But forgiveness allows us to focus on more positive thoughts. Negativeness can become like bitterness. You know, a person may just become bitter and hardened over time. A friend of ours, he was telling me, I mean, they are about our age. And I knew his brother was nearby. I said, well, do you ever go see your brother or God? He said, no. He said, we had so much bitterness when we were children that we could never get back together. And I'm thinking, man, all these years and brothers of the same family can't get past that kind of bitterness. That is really sad. You know, I don't know. He said, you know, we had to work in the garden and, you know, we'd be fighting and arguing. And it was just how it could carry on. But see, if it goes too long, that bitterness becomes just part of a person. And you can't get past it, it seems. Well, through a miracle from God, you could. But if you would, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Well, I'll start in verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. He says, don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. But in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger. Anger means, in this particular verse, it means, that word means violent passion, vengeance, and wrath. No, just can't get past that. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Sometimes maybe we just forget about how much we have been forgiven. So we can hold a grudge against another person because it's easy for us to forget. You know, I stand guilty. I stand guilty before God and before His law. And God has offered me forgiveness. Again, holding on to bitterness, hatred, and a desire for revenge can cause serious emotional and psychological problems that compound the suffering of the victim. This particular article I'm reading here is again from the church publication, Discover the Power of Forgiveness. It says here, it's like taking poison and waiting for someone else to die. You know, we just hate that person, and I just go, if I could just get my hands on this person. And we're not hurting them. We're killing ourselves. You know, we're poisoning ourselves and weakening ourselves, tearing ourselves down. Like taking poison and waiting for someone else to die. What's that old saying? Cut off your nose, spite your face. It's something like that. You know, just cannot turn loose of that. Second point I have is lack of forgiveness. This is really, I'd say, one of the most important things to think about. Lack of forgiveness separates us from God. God is a God of forgiveness. I mean, that is His desire, and His way is to forgive and to restore people. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. As one person said to me, well, this person's never asked for forgiveness, so I'm not forgiving. He said, God doesn't forgive unless we ask. We have to ask. Well, as I see, one big difference is asking for God, we're talking about reconciliation with God. But sometimes you cannot be really reconciled to another person if they're not accepting it. But you still can forgive and go on about your life for your own sake and for what God tells you to do. You know, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. Sometimes people that have done offenses may not even still be alive now. We couldn't reconcile with them. And some people really don't care. And you just can't ever become a friend in that sense with them. But you can forgive. You can forgive if you ask God to help you to forgive. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. In verse 23. Therefore, well, I'll start in verse 22. As we had read in verse 21, how many times shall I forgive? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but up to 70 times. Therefore, in verse 23, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded him that he be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and that payment be made. Well, our society now, we can't sell ourselves into slavery to borrow the money so they could be sold. But, you know, we can get those nagging phone calls. Oh, we're afraid to answer the phone. That's a bill collector. Just let it ring or put it on the recorder so we can turn it off. You know, we can be... You know, that's our fear. Or, hey, we're coming. We're coming to take the car. We're coming to take the house. Oh, we didn't hear it. You know. But here, people could, at certain cultures, could be taken and sold. I mean, my wife and I have been there. Don't answer the phone. We don't want to hear it. You know, we don't want to hear the news. Because we're pretty sure it's not good news. But here, these people, this was really serious. So his wife and children, all that he had, that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. So here's a person asking at least forgiveness in time. Give me some time. You know, the bill collector, give us some time. And years ago, we got in a situation with the IRS and the company, and I didn't realize that we had not sent the payroll taxes in because there was other people involved in the business. So I went to the IRS, and I was kind of like this, give me some time. And, of course, the agent said, I said, if you don't give me time, the business will go away. And as she put it, I don't care about what happens to the business. I'm here to collect taxes. And I couldn't make her understand, you're not going to collect taxes without the business. Because that generates the money. But see, this is what he was saying. Give me some patience. Or have patience with me, and I'm going to pay you. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him. In other words, he freed him fully. He released him and forgave him his debt. That certainly should remind us at this time of year, you know, what has really been nailed to that stake or that cross. You know, that debt, that was what's nailed. we have a release. You know, as this master, he released it all. You don't even have to make payments. I'm not going to discount it 50%. It's 100% forgiven. But then that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. So what would that be like when God has totally forgiven us? You know, what was nailed to that stake, that debt? It's gone. It's wiped out. We're not making payments. That debt is gone. And yet someone offends us and does us wrong, and we're not willing to release and forget it. Well, when I say forget it, I mean holding the grudge, holding the vengeance, demanding and expecting. As someone was asking me about loaning money to someone, I said, that's fine if you're willing to loan the money and realize you may not get any of it back. If you're willing to do it under those circumstances, then that's fine. You know, are we willing to give up the vengeance? Now, this particular person, he had been forgiven, but then he grabs his co-worker by the throat. And then his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants in verse 31 saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master in verse 32, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. I forgave it all. You know, even in our case, Christ from the foundation of the world, I believe, has brought out, has already made that pledge. We didn't even have to beg. He paid it, and then we have the opportunity to fall before God and just accept that. He said, I forgive you the whole debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And you notice he says he's fellow servant. So it reminds me that there could be these kind of feelings right within the body of Christ. You know, right within. We're not willing to give, to be able to forgive. And it seems that times when things are... you could call them divisions or whatever. Many times it's just, it seems people unwilling. No one's willing to step up and say, okay, I'll take this one. I'll take this on the chin for the good of everything. Should you not, in verse 33, have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I pitied you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So I think we see in verse 35 that this is serious. It says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. See, lack of forgiveness, if we have that attitude, separates us from God. And all of his forgiveness then becomes something else. You know, I believe I'm ready to go. If I went to Matthew 8, yeah, I've been talking about that. As smart as I am, at times I lose it, okay? If anybody doubts my intelligence, talk to my wife, and she'll reassure you. You might say, I cannot be reconciled to that person. It's just too much. But again, I want to read from this same article from the church. I believe I had something there I wanted to read. What forgiveness is not, an important part of this treatment philosophy assumes that forgiveness be experienced and expressed in full realization that an offender's action may not merit much benevolence. The forgiveness spoken of by researchers does not depend on the attitude or the action of the offender. Whoever was the offender may not, doesn't even care that you've been hurt, you know, in whatever way, spiritually, physically. Neither does it imply denying, condoning, excusing, or condemning them. It doesn't demand justice or compensation. Forgiveness is not equivalent to, or does it require reconciliation? What, forgiveness is one person's moral response to another's injustice. In other words, it's our response. Maybe the other person doesn't care, but it's our response for our own health, both physically and spiritually. We need to respond and release that burden that is carried on through lack of forgiveness. And it is a load, and we may not realize how much of a load it really is to be carrying that. The resentful, wanting to retaliate, wanting for revenge, and maybe secretly hoping that something bad happens to that person. I hope they get in a financial jam themselves. You know, I hope they learn what it's like to have problems, to be stepped on, you know. And that is just part of our nature, and it is our defense. Another point I have, forgiveness restores or heals our relationship with God. Forgiveness is healing. This whole article in the Wall Street Journal entitled "The Healing Power of Forgiveness." It's amazing to me it was in the paper. But there are some, you know, mankind can come across the truth. I think Mr. Armstrong said, sometimes they stumble across it and they quickly get up and hurry on. But, you know, we do. Mankind has the mind. God created us the mind to learn things, but it's the attitude that we have through our own nature. And of course, that evil one who is always there, always there. And especially if God has called you, as one man told me, when God calls you, it's like you've got this big target painted on your back. And you're going to be shot at, hopefully, right in the center, a deadly wound. So we have that to contend with. Hopefully we can expect that. Forgiveness restores or it heals our relationship with God. Let's look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I know we read this many times. You know, we call for the elders when we're afflicted, as God tells us to. James chapter 5. And I may start on verse 14. Just to review this, James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any one among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Yes, when we get sick, physically, spiritually, emotionally, we need to call for God's help. And in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And then verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another. In other words, he's saying, admit our part in the problem. Be willing to admit our part. We can't force someone else to admit their part. We can only force ourselves or work on admitting our part and pray for one another. If we're having a difficulty, we need to admit our part and we need to pray for the offending party. And with prayer, sometimes God opens our minds to realize that we were the offending party and we didn't even realize it, you know, at times. So that's very important to go there. And what did David said? He said, oh Lord, search my heart. And we was talking about something I told my wife that I had to do. And I said, I don't trust my heart to go and bring this up, because I'm not for sure about my attitude and my motive. I don't trust my own heart. And that's when David said, search my heart. That's what we need to do, especially if we're going to a brother with a problem, is to ask that God search our heart to see if there's sin in us, if we're going for the right reason. We can't trust our heart. And I know you are well aware of that. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It goes on to talk about Elijah. He had a nature like ours, and he prayed that it would not rain, it not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again. So he's saying he had a nature as us. So God has given us the potential for great works, potential to overcome really hard situations that we may be in. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gave us some things that may seem really hard, and yet he is going to provide the help we need. And he said in verse 43 in Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. As far as I know, that's not in the Bible. Has anyone ever found that in the Bible? If you have, I'd like to see it. To love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I think that's part of the Pharisees' teaching, in contrast to God's teaching. They love to add things to God. Look what they did to the Sabbath day. They couldn't wait to keep adding and adding. You know. Even spitting on the ground be considered plowing because you've disturbed the earth. Watch out. Yeah, you're doing your plowing today. So, you know, not being able to carry things, you know, it just went on and on. So that's kind of a nature of man under the influence of Satan to just keep putting our own ideas into God's way. In verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless them who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Now we're to pray for them, but we don't want to pray for their success in destroying us or hurting us. We want to pray that God will work with them and help them to treat us in a merciful way, or just help them to see their own way, because they're hurting themselves also, aren't they? Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And we do. We look around and say, look at those people over there. Man, all those things they do, and look at the crop they are receiving. And look at the job they have. Well, we don't know the whole story, of course. And God sends the rain on the just, the unjust. Verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do that? Therefore, verse 48, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So yeah, that we're walking toward perfection, as Mr. Caping put it. And that is so true. We're on that move to perfection, and there's obstacles along the way. And one of those is with times we have to forgive. We have to move past being offended. And of course, we've talked about we can be forgiving without being fully reconciled. You know, it's our attitude. Sometimes you just can't be reconciled to someone. There's just too much. But you can take care of your part by being forgiving. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 20. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? I mean, you have it coming, right? You've gotten caught. So you're going to have to do your time. And he said, well, what's so great about taking that patiently? But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. You know, this is commendable. When we are abused, when we're mistreated, and we're able to forgive and to move on with our life, and not be weighted down and let that become a motivation in our life. For you, in verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, in his own footsteps. And when you do good and suffer for it, and you take it patiently, that is commendable. That's commendable in God's eyes and in mankind's eyes, even if they see it. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 14. And here in what's called the Lord's Prayer, of course, this is a prayer showing what manner. But one in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, that's part of how being restored to God. He absolutely demands that we be forgiving. He's forgiving. That's part of his nature. And we're building that same nature. And in verse 12, forgiving our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then moving now to verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So we're being reconciled and restored to God's mercy. It restores our relationship with God. But if you do not forgive, verse 15, men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. That's serious talk. Neither will he forgive you. Yes, we've got to move on. Forgive and be forgiven. That's just God's way. And in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, Matthew, Mark chapter 11. If you have anything against anyone, verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, it means like being stationary. Actually, you know, at the opening prayer in today, we were standing and we were stationary. Now, wouldn't it be here we're standing and praying before God? And it says, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. If we're standing here together praying and you have something against someone, and I don't know anything about anyone here, so don't think I'm preaching to anybody about anything I know, because I don't know. You know, but if we're standing there, we're all standing together and we have something we're still offended about, he says, you better forgive it. Right then. Let's make that commitment. Hey, I'm going to forgive that. Even though I'm going to have to go and ask God to help me, I'm making that commitment now that I'm going to forgive that trespass. Has anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Because that is God's nature, to be forgiven. Can you think of an example in the Bible of someone who forgave? I mean, Jesus Christ did, but a person. I always think about Joseph in Genesis chapter 44. I mean, he had... we think that we've had some abuses and mistreatment, but I believe Joseph had probably more than what most of us here have. In Genesis 44, verse 18, and you know the story. Joseph is his brothers out of jealousy and despised him, threw him in a well, and then he is sold to slavers and taken to Egypt. As far as they know, he's gone. He's dead. But then they have to go to Egypt for food. And they don't realize it, who they're being brought before, but their very brother that they betrayed and would like left for dead. In verse 44, chapter 44, I believe verse 18. Then Judah came near to him and said, "Oh my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh." He doesn't know that's his brother, but he knows they're in trouble. Notice it was Judah. What tribe was Jesus from? And Judah goes, and this is what he says in verse 32. "For your servant became surety for the lad." Joseph had said, "No, we're going to keep this young man and the youngest, and he's going to stay here, and then you go back." And then Judah says, "Oh, no, no, please. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, 'If I do not bring him back to you, then I shall surely bear the blame before my father forever. And he's pleading, verse 33. Now therefore, please let your servant remain. He's saying, look, I'll stay. I'll be your slave. But let this one go. So let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord. And let the lad go up with his brothers. For he's saying, you know, how can I go back to my father without this young child or this young boy, Benjamin? How can I go back without Benjamin? In chapter 45, notice that Joseph fully forgives his brothers. And he could not restrain himself there in verse 1. He sent everyone out but his brothers. And he wept in verse 2. And, of course, the Egyptians, it made a note here that they heard him. Then Joseph said to his brother, I am Joseph. You know, it's like, hey, you remember me? You remember me, the one that you what? Put down the well. Was it Judah that got him out and then sold him, I believe? Am I right? Yeah. Judah. You know how those Judas are. They know how to make money. Okay. But he didn't want the boy to die, so he took that step. And now Judah's taking a step for his younger brother. I'll stay and be the slave and let the boy go. So in chapter 45, Joseph reveals himself and he fully forgives in verse 5. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Yes, Joseph and his forgiving attitude is giving his brothers rest from that guilt. He said, in verse 6, for these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And in verse 8, so now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father, to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So Joseph really gave a full forgiveness. And, you know, how long could he have lived under that much hate and desire to punish? He wanted them to learn their lesson, but he was willing to forgive. You know, we have to admit our part in anything, any wrong. We have to be praying for our enemies, right? Willing to suffer for doing the right thing. No, brethren, for our own health, we need to be forgiving. If just for our own health, carnal people in this world can comprehend that, and they can see it. They can see for their own health, if no other reason to do it, to release the feelings of anger, resentment, punitive feelings of revenge. We need to let go of those. Those feelings will only drag us down and keep us separated from God. Forgiveness restores and heals what? Our relationship with God. So then God will forgive, and even more we can be reconciled to God. We maybe can't be reconciled now with every person, but we can forgive, but we can be reconciled to God. Yes, we can be reconciled to God. You know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. So how, brethren, how will those Vietnamese who were left standing there without hope. I mean, that's be quite a load. You know, you got your hopes up. Okay, the next one. These groups going, now that one. But then the last one, you're not on. You know, how will they? And those Marines and Ambassador Graham Martin, who had to go back on their word and walk away. You know, they've got to turn loose of that too. And how in the world will all that happen? Let's look at Revelation 21. That happens will come through forgiveness. Revelation 21, I believe verse 4. Well, I'll start in verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And in verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You know, those people have the time that we're having now, when they're going to be willing to forgive and realize the situation. And he says, he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. All of this, brethren, because of the power of forgiveness.